Give me a second to get set here. Get my eyeballs on. So I can read my notes. Well, good morning, everyone. Happy feast. Bring you greetings from the Tampa, Florida congregation. Keep telling them how great Cincinnati Feast Site is. So one of these days. So it's good to be here. And it's amazing, as I've noticed all the messages that's been given so far, they're really touching points throughout the message that I will be giving today or this morning. But I would like to put a disclaimer out there to begin with. What I'll be speaking on today, I apologize for all the maybe elbows or the pointing, jabbing that may be going on. Sorry for the social distancing. That's not going to be wide enough for certain families. So I apologize for that right off the bat. But just, you know, I'll be checking on you as I'm talking, so I'll be seeing it, what's going on out there. The title of my sermon this morning is Put Our House in Order. I'm sure you can relate to needing to get rid of stuff in our life. Whether that stuff is sin, which is a daily chore for us, of always going to God on a daily basis, seeking forgiveness of our sins. But also on this side of the millennium, we're still learning. We're still in training. But what we're learning and training is going to help us in the world tomorrow, during the millennium, and even during the last day or last great day. On the spiritual plane, we can see throughout our daily life the sinful clutter to be removed from our hearts and minds. We need to be aware of that each day of our life. As Mr. Jones mentioned, him and his wife, they get up early in the morning to start their day with God in prayer and study. And we should be doing the same all throughout the day. Yeah, I could raise my hand here dealing with household clutter, because my hat goes off to Mr. Nathan Ekema when he was explaining his bathroom remodel. Well, I will admit to Mr. Ekema that my wife and I have completed our complete home renovation. It took 4 years, but it's completely done. And what prompted this message of Put Our House in Order, we had two remaining rooms. So after the feast of 2019, we had two remaining rooms left to be done. And those were the rooms where we had all of our storage kept, all of our files. So after the feast, we had to go home, remove everything from those two rooms, and we placed it in a middle bedroom of our house. Boy, our house was not in order at that time because it was floor to ceiling, wall to wall, filled completely. But once the outer rooms were finished, then we were able to remove all that. But knowing full well, most of that had to be discarded. And guess what? COVID-19, 2020, stay at home, don't go out. Gave me plenty of time to go through that. And as of today, I can safely say a good 98% of that stuff that I wanted to discard has been done. Because I'm a retired accountant, been retired for 2 years now. And when going through that and you find stuff that you got dating back to 1976, you have a slight problem with being a pack rat. Because I grew up out in the country in Florida, a family of 6 kids, a mother and father. So I remember we didn't have a whole lot. But after being married and 45 years later, it was a totally different picture. But the good thing is my wife and I have lived in the same house since 1977, so I didn't have to transport all this stuff around. It was just there to be handled. Most people realize that clutter is caused by too much stuff. As we know in our life and sin, It's all around us. But we have to ask ourselves, and this word's been used before here at the feast, why? Why do we have all this stuff? Usually it's because we do not accurately grasp how much we own. We do not accurately grasp how often we go to God seeking to discard sins from our life. As I said, it should be on a daily basis. Well, the reason we don't accurately grasp this at home is because some various parts of our home, our house. Can you relate to this? It's in closets. It's in attics. Inside boxes, inside bags, you name it. Suitcases, sheds. And what I come to find out, I had more than enough of these, was the nooks and crannies. Anywhere you can find a space, something's just going to be stuffed there. So it really boiled down to by category. We need to look at our life in categories. Whether it's at home, dealing with your clothes, your books, whatever it may be, your memorabilia, your pictures, but mainly the sin, our spiritual life. We need to keep our spiritual life in tune with God. Because there are some people who can't go from room to room in their house without running an obstacle course over all of their stuff. Now, this is something, of course, that Satan loves to use, whatever is at his disposal, to ruin our lives. And what I'm speaking about here are things that we do to ourselves, unintentionally, but it impacts our life on a daily basis. And clutter is being just one of those devices that Satan will utilize in our life, or against us in our life. But we're here learning, as we are when we go back home, of keeping sin out. It is a daily chore. Webster's definition of clutter is to fill or litter with things in a disorderly manner, a disorderly heap, a confused state. And you see a lot of confusion in this world nowadays. Clutter breeds confusion. A poorly kept household makes people tense. And who of you really enjoy tension and stress in your life? None of us. And too much stuff around is distracting. You know, words that I've been using like indecision, disorderly, confusion, tension, stress, and distractions. These all resemble fruits of an evil spirit that Satan, the devil, is proud of and transmits continually. Keeps projecting that. If you would, turn to James chapter 3 with me. In James chapter 3, starting in verse 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Those words that we read, it's like a satanic shroud that is over the whole world. And it's something that's to be discarded. And we know that when Christ returns, the maker of that shroud, the father of that shroud, will be put away. Satan the devil, him and his demons, will be placed in an abyss, locked away for 1,000 years. But mankind will still have these thoughts to overcome, and we will be there helping teach them how to do that through God's word. If you would, come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We see how Satan wants to confuse everyone, distract everyone. But we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And this is what we're seeking, God's way, no confusion. So in order for us to put our house in order, I will be touching on 3 points. And the first point is we need to focus again on the why first. Why do we need to do this? Well, we have to have a target in life. We have to have a goal. Because we must recognize we cannot hit a non-target. Just like most people can't decide what to keep because they haven't really focused on why they're keeping it. Again, going back to your possessions. It's easy to wander or get lost on a journey with no destination. And by seeing you here, you know what your destination is. It's the kingdom of God. It's to be a very son and daughter of God. So you have a target in mind. By being where you are right now, you're showing God that you're wanting to accomplish what he has set before us. So you must think first about what you want. What do you want in this life? And where are you going in this life? Because it's your life. And what you want to accomplish. Because this question has been asked already, and I will repeat it here. What is most important in your life? It's a very important question. And we will work towards removing this shroud of Satan, this indecision, this disorder, the confusion, tension, stress, and distractions. We will be doing that. We are doing that. We will continue to do that up to the time of Christ's return. If you would, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Second Chronicles 34, starting in verse 1. Here we see a young man, and we may have some 8-year-olds out there amongst us. But here we talk about Josiah. He was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. So he started a very early life. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, showing that he was 16, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. So you can see where King Josiah had a target. He was focused. He wanted to put his house in order, his nation in order. Just as we, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 16 and 17. "We are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Yes, we know that. "And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So that's why we should be cleansing, discarding the sins from our life on a daily basis to keep it clean, keep it fresh, keep it godly. Being focused on keeping ourselves pure and seeking God's love and forgiveness. Mr. Ekema talked about the rich man talking to Christ in Matthew 19. I'd like to turn there as well. In Matthew 19, starting at verse 16, and since he's already covered the scriptures there, I want to focus on the latter part, but I'll read verse 16 first. And behold, one came and said unto him, speaking to Jesus, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" But what I want to point out is in verse 22, after Christ spoke to him about what he should do, and the young man says, "Well, I've done this since my youth up." But in verse 22 is, "But when the young man heard the saying," meaning Christ told him to go and sell that he had and give to the poor, then come and follow Christ. The young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, this is one thing we need to focus on a daily basis as well. What do we consider as our great possessions? Looking back on COVID-19, if you had to do something different, knowing back then what you know now, would you have done anything different? Now, with that question being said, stop and think. Are you thinking of the material and physical things that you would have done different? Or are you thinking of godly, spiritual things that you would have done differently to building up to this time? What are your possessions? We have great possessions. We have God's truth. We have God's Holy Spirit. We understand God has opened up to our understanding His Word. Compare that to what's around you at home, what's around you at work, or whatever you may be doing on a daily basis when you're not at God's feast. Where are your thoughts? Where are your possessions in your life? It's something to think about, because we want to keep moving forward with that vision, that target ahead of us. So after focusing on the why, secondly, just do it. Okay, you have that target, you focused on why, so now just do it. Put your house in order. Because we don't know when our time is over. God has given us time. We have time. But we don't know when that time ends. And when it ends, are you ready? Is your house in order? I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of stuff physically. That is, if you're constantly using it. But I personally can, you know, admit to this. The problem is leaving it when you're done, just laying around, you know, tossed on some piece of furniture or the floor, or just saving it till later. Where in my case, some of those files were 45 years later. That's a, you know, that's not, I'll handle it tomorrow. Okay? That's a lot of tomorrows in between there. But there are those that constantly keep and carrying stuff over until later. Like I said, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 45 years later, whatever it may be. But at this point, we ask the other question. We must realize, is it taking time, our time, away from God? Think about it. How much time is lost dealing with the mental, emotional, irritations, and depression? How much time do you think is lost in our life? But better yet, we should be thinking about how much time can be saved to do God's work. Some of us may be thinking, well, I would really like to do it, but when? Yeah. Have you ever thought that way? I'd really like to get to that, but when? Well, we must realize that we should never ask that question again, because it's already been mentioned again during the feast. Time isn't a question of having. It's just a question of using it properly. We have, everyone in here, 24 hours a day. I'm not aware of any of you that may have 25 or more. If you do, I'd like to talk to you later, see how you use that extra time, but it's 24 hours. So we should be taking solid steps toward getting things in shape, putting our house in order. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 to see King Josiah. We left off at verse 3. We'll pick it up in verse 4. Exactly what was he doing, putting his nation, his house, in order? In verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 34, they broke down the altars of Balaam. They took down the images. They cut down the groves, the carved images, the molten images. They broke all in pieces. And continuing on through, you can read for yourselves exactly what they were accomplishing and doing. In verse 6, it says that he did so in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, Naphtali. So he was covering a lot, King Josiah. In verse 7, when he had broken down the altars and the groves and beaten the graven images into powder, he cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. He has a target. He had focus. And in verse 8, it says, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land, okay, so the 18th year of his reign, well, he started in the 12th year of his reign doing all this. So we see here it took King Josiah 6 years to just do it. But in those countries, those nations that they talked about, putting his house in order. Well, we know, and we're told that during the millennium, the waste places will be rebuilt. It doesn't say how long that will take. We know the millennium is 1,000 years. But there's no indication in Scripture that says, well, it's only going to take 5 years to do all the rebuilding, or 10 years. For us, we're spirit beings, so it's not going to matter. Time doesn't matter for us. We will be there. We will be assisting, teaching, leading, instructing those that make it through the great tribulation to just do it, because it's the right way to go. You'll go the godly way. Satan will be put away. We will be teaching them. But we're learning that now. Maybe you're like me. My pet peeve is I hate seeing garbage on the road. Trash. People that think their private garbage dump is along a major highway or a country road. It's one of my pet peeves. So I tend to think in the millennium I'll be helping with that rebuilding of waste places. I'm looking forward to that. So you have the why. You have the just do it. So the third point is to be determined. We need to have that endurance and redeem our time back, to save that time for God and for us to grow closer to God and Jesus Christ. Determination deals with a mindset prior to a task, while endurance, it involves the carrying out of a task. Determination presupposes careful consideration, because we have to consider these things, whether the cost or requirements of a task and the decision that the task is worth it. Making it to the kingdom as first fruits, being sons and daughters to God, that's worth it. That's worth accomplishing. That's worth enduring. Being determined to be there. Usually, decluttering is just putting in the time required and decisiveness on discarding. By staying vigilant and current with your daily things, clutter should stay removed. You see, I'm jumping between the physical and spiritual here. One affects the other, but the main part is the spiritual, staying close to God. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 16 and 17. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Have we seen any evil days out there in the past? And even today? There's a lot of evil in this world. Verse 17. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So let's redeem our time. Work at it. It takes effort, because you'll feel better when it's done and maintained. Trust me. When I got through with what I did in that project at home, what a relief. What a breath of fresh air. It just felt good. But we must understand that before starting any decluttering project, you have to resign yourself in order to be successful at it. You have to discard things. That was the hardest part of some of that effort, of discarding, removing it, things that you would deem no longer needed or wanted. You have to decide that and stick to that decision, because what's going to happen? You're going to make a decision this minute. It's going to lay there. You're going to look at it. You're going to, no, I've changed my mind. You know, you have to. We can't do that in God's way, you know, with sin. We have to discard it and realize why we discard it, because it's sin. It goes against God. We just can't the next day say, I did that again. As was mentioned, I'll get to it later to talk to God about that. No, we have to continue discarding sin from our life, asking for that repentance. Again, being able to recognize it and not accumulating, especially our sins, to get to them later. There are some things you want to discard first. But as I mentioned earlier on the topic of categories, from a physical perspective, your clothes, your books, your papers, I have found personally that when you're not organized, and you may be looking for a tool to do a job, and if you're not organized, what happens? You can't find it. It's not where it should be. Well, I know in my case, what would I do? Well, I would run down to the local Home Depot or Lowe's, or ace, not buy another one. So how many hammers do you usually wind up with? Screwdrivers or nuts and bolts or nails or whatever. You could have a yard sale just for those items alone. You know, it's embarrassing. So that's why, from a physical perspective, when you look at these categories, just as we look at sin, we need to have them grouped in front of you. As an example, if you look at your clothes, you probably have those clothes in different rooms of the house. Well, in order to successfully discard and keep and organize, you bring them all together. One area. You group them in front of you. So you go over that one thing at that moment and then go to the next. It's very, very helpful. I can speak for that and vouch for that personally. It has really helped. Because by looking at each area individually, it will help you to discard or keep what you need to. And it's amazing what you discard can help others. You know, the needy, wherever. Or people sell it for yard sales or whatever. And which I'm, you know, personally don't like yard sales, so I don't even touch that topic. But in Ephesians chapter 6, we're in Ephesians already, so if you just flip over to Ephesians 6, we see in God's example of our spiritual clothing is to all be joined together, all be grouped together, and not worn without the other. So a complete set. God wants us to have a complete set. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, we talk about the armor of God. We actually sang about that the other day in one of the hymns. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And throughout the rest of the verses through verse 18, it talks about the individual parts of the armor of God. It's a complete set. And you have to have that complete set, as it says, to stand against the wiles of the devil. In Hebrews chapter 8, and I find this so interesting, in Hebrews 8, verse 10, we read, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So here we just read, he's going to put his laws in their mind and write it on their heart. Now if you would just turn over to Hebrews 10 in verse 16, we read, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord." We see it's the same beginning. "I will put my laws into their hearts, and I will, and in their minds will I write them." So you see how the mind and heart, a completeness there of God's laws. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 3, you know, when we look around us, there's just so much when you talk about discarding, cleaning, organizing. There's just so much in our life that we could talk about and compare to. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 8 through 9, it says, "But now you also put off Put it off. All these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Again, discard it. Get rid of it. Quickly. And keep it out. Because in the same book, Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So we need to be seeking from what's above. Moving over to verse 12. Before we were talking about what to put off. Now we're talking about to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of unity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, verse 15, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. And can we say that we are so thankful that God has called us to this truth, and that we are working every day to put on what His Word tells us to do. Well, here are a couple of other areas for consideration because it's out there and we need to recognize it. There are certain parts of mental clutter that come in various groupings as well that we also want to discard. One of those is gossip. Gossip. Because a person's mouth can resemble a cluttered room full of things that aren't needed and that they don't do anybody any good. It's like a bad virus, unseen but spreading steadily and insidiously. Sounds like the COVID-19 of Satan, of gossip. It's like a bad virus. In the book of James, if you would turn there with me, please. James chapter 3. Starting in verse 5, going through verse 8. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Definitely something we want to cast out, keep away from us. Complaints and criticism is another area. It does moral and spiritual damage, and the sooner it is tossed out with the rest of the junk, the sooner a person gains motivation and accomplishments. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, through 11. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. And that's what we should be doing with everything around us, pursuing peace being at our best. And we are to learn to live without clutter and simplify our life, because it's a refreshment to our life. Simplify. And hopefully it will go faster than you think if you start the process. But it's up to you. You have to start it. It won't get done by itself. What we are learning now will serve others in the future. We have to remember that it's not just to serve us, we are learning to serve others. We are here to serve. And we are here to keep our lives decluttered by remembering to focus on the why first, and then just do it, and continue to be determined. We have to have that determination and endurance in God's orderly way meant for our life, staying consistent, persevering, and redeeming our time. God gave us this time, so let's use it to the best of our ability. There is coming a time in the future, because we're currently on this side of the millennium, but there's coming that time in the future where we will be helping with a major decluttering effort after Christ's return and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. After the great tribulation, a godly cleansing will continue. Now, I was going to say will occur, but I said will continue, because we're still here. We're still mortal. We're not spirit beings yet. We're continuing each day of our life. We're building. We're growing. We're seeking God. We're seeking His truth. Once we're sons and daughters of God, we're spirit beings. It will continue. Not just during the millennium, but the eighth day, when everyone is brought up. Now, they're not bringing all their junk and everything they had before they died. No, it's them. But it's up here, the continuing, the spiritual, the recognizing, the cleansing. That will continue. For the last scripture, if you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 8. Because I was an accountant for 43 years, so numbers tend to interest me. Of course, the bigger the number, the better. But in this case, in verse 8, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day." So it's always interested me, because being a spirit being, and if this, you know, is accurate, which I'll take it as accurate because it's in the Bible, I did a little bit of math. This being the sixth day of the feast, okay, 7 days is the equivalent of 1,000 years. On this sixth day, we're within the 700th year to 862 year of the feast, the millennium, that timeline. So in your mind, you think, how has everything progressed through that millennium up to 700 to 800 years with man? You know, we read about all the prosperity, all the fruits, the desert's blossoming like a rose. So as we're here on the sixth day, you know, theoretically speaking, you're within that timeline of the 1,000 years that God has placed during the millennium. Or you look at it another way. One day is as 1,000 years. Well, if you break that day down, 24 hours, every hour, if you round up, is 42 years. So the amount of time that I've been here, which is less than an hour, is the one out there going, yes, yes. 42 years of mankind has went by. We're spirit beings. It's just like an hour, you know, humanly speaking. For us, it's nothing as spirit beings. So it's just fascinating of God's truth, of all that energy, all that power, all that love, all that discernment that we will have of serving mankind, of bringing more into the truth and into God's family with our elder brother, Jesus Christ. So we're to be praying for that day of Christ's return to come quickly. We're one day closer. And pray that God's will be done in each of our lives. Decluttering will be needed before, during, and after the millennium for mankind. Most of it spiritual. Thank God for that. And we will be there as sons and daughters of God, helping, serving, teaching mankind. I can't wait for that. So, brethren, success in putting your house in order from today forward. Because we continue to be in training for that time ahead in God's kingdom. And may it come quickly. Enjoy the rest of your day.